Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric. Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And a pretty good week in the sports this past weekend. We had the Masters. We had baseball, of course. Basketball season coming down to an end. A couple big games that happened. And a couple of games that could decide some historic feats here at the end of the season. It's been pretty great, and I know you were probably watching some of it. How was your weekend with all that was going on?
It was awesome, like you said. What more can you ask for? A lot of excitement. Definitely in all the sports that are going on. Summer is starting to pick up and are getting closer, and yeah.
Yeah, it was. Pretty exciting. I don't know if you caught the Masters, but wow, 12th hole. It's a real killer out there. So
yeah,
we'll get to that later.
Yeah, not just for Tyler Spieth, but yeah.
For who?
Spieth?
Did you say Tyler? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, and who else? I don't know. We'll have to talk about that in a second, but not really sure who you're talking about. I don't know if we have the same person in mind here. So, but
yeah.
So I guess we'll get started here with our hot picks from last week. A couple of baseball games we had on tap. We had Astros and the Yankees. That happened Wednesday night at 6. We had McHugh versus Pineda. We both went Yankees here, and the Yankees. Won a slugfest, 16-6 over the Astros in that game. Starlin Castro's came out very hot, and I think maybe the trade is really the switch in his head. He's been playing great these first couple weeks. I know it's just a couple weeks in, but I really think that something flipped in his head, and he had 7 RBIs through, or I think 8 RBIs actually, 8 RBIs through. 4 or 5 games, so it's pretty good if you ask me. So, the Yankees look like they're going to be back to maybe not the Yankees of old, but they're definitely going to be competing in that AL East.
No, yeah, they're definitely not the Yankees of old. They're doing a lot more internally, which is good for them. But yeah, no, they're really good, especially with their even stronger bullpen, or what should be a stronger bullpen this year, and guys who can hit up and down the lineup. Starlin Castro, like you said, looked great. Mark Teixeira is still getting it done. He also had a three run home run in that game. Colin McHugh only got one out. not a great.
Wow.
Yeah, gave up 6 runs in the first inning, and it was kind of over from that point. The Astros really probably shouldn't even scored 6 runs. They got a grand slam and then 2 Carlos Correa home runs, but yeah, just one game, but definitely a blowout.
Yeah, most definitely. Astros are going to be right there, one of the toughest teams in the AL. Just one game, just 162. Definitely nothing to worry about.
That's really looked fine tonight.
yeah, definitely. I guess I didn't realize that McHugh only got one out in the game. That's worse than what the Yankees did to Guthrie last year. So that offense can really get going at times.
Yeah, no, definitely. they hit the ball hard.
And most definitely. So, but yeah. So the other game we had that night, or I guess that week, was Red Sox and Blue Jays. That was yesterday at 12. And here I went. I went Blue Jay or Red Sox. You went Blue Jays. Blue Jays won a 3-0 game. David Price actually pitched really well. It was the bullpen that let the Red Sox down, which I think is going to be maybe a story all season. I'm not sure beyond Craig Kimbrell if they really have a strong enough bullpen to keep them in a AL East battle that's going to be very, very close. I think all five teams have a shot to win. And, I definitely think the AL East, I think the AL period is going to have some of the best just battles in their divisions. And it's going to be a fun time this season. So, yeah, the Blue Jays got it done, though. The big bats and actually their pitching of Marco Estrada in that game really shut down the Red Sox.
No, yeah, Marco Estrada looked great. He was on the DL for some back soreness, but yeah, no, went seven innings, didn't give up a run, turned it over for two easy innings of work for the bullpen, got Roberto Osuna save. Josh Donaldson hit a home run, but other than that, yeah, not a very eventful game.
Yeah, not really. I actually caught a little bit of that game since I have at bat now, thanks to T-Mobile. Get a little plug in there for T-Mobile. So, I definitely think that the Blue Jays are going to be right there, especially if Marcus Stroman can become a real ace for this team. I think that's the biggest thing that they're lacking. And if he can pitch the way he was pitching down the stretch last year and keep that going, I think the Blue Jays might be a tougher team than they were last year.
Yeah, no, definitely. They're definitely dangerous, always with that offense. But, yeah, if that pitching, that rotation comes together, their bullpen's good enough, then they're always going to be competitive.
Yeah, most definitely. So, I guess we'll go ahead and go to our upsets here. And since we are going to talk about the Warriors, and those were our other two picks here. So for our upsets, I went with the Lakers at the Rockets. That was yesterday at 2:30. It was looking really good for me. Kobe scored 35. The Lakers were hitting their shots, but just could not stop the Rockets and James Harden down the stretch. Rockets went on to win 130-110, and I thought that might be the game that officially knocked Houston out. It still wouldn't have quite done that, but it would have been very hard for Houston to get in at the harder than what it is right now. They would have had to win their last two and the Jazz to lose their last two. But the way it is, Houston still has a chance. And
yeah, that's interesting because don't the Lakers play the Jazz?
They do, tomorrow night.
There you go. That's pretty crazy. Maybe Lakers can help him get in.
Kobe's last home game. Kind of
yep.
Hoping Kobe goes off for 50 and just exits.
I hope he's
saving all his energy.
I want him to take every shot.
He should. He should. I hope
just,
he has 88 field goal attempts by the end of the night.
Because that's the way Kobe should go out. Just go down shooting.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. So. Yeah, it's going to be a good game, so we will have to see. What was your upset last week?
I picked the Braves to win their next game, and they didn't because they haven't won a game.
Yeah, Braves are pretty bad.
Yeah. But the Twins game, and they've lost more games, so right now they look worse.
That's true.
We'll probably battling
for the wild card last year.
Right. So we'll talk about that later when we get to more baseball stuff. But we got to talk about the Warriors.
Yeah, we do. A couple of big games That happened over the weekend. Warriors tied the record, 72 wins. It's really remarkable when you think about it. I guess, what does 72 mean to you?
The craziest part about it for me is kind of what Draymond Green said, is the fact that they can win 73. That's what it's all about, right? Got to go for that record.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I've been saying all year, not all year, but when it looked like they were going to get it, I said that they were going to get it. Then they lost to the Celtics at home. That really scared me. Then they lost to the Timberwolves at home. And at that point, I didn't think they were going to get it. I thought that the best they'd do is tie, because I know I picked the Warriors in both games last week, but I was not confident that they were going to beat the Spurs Saturday night. And I don't even remember when it was. So Sunday night. Yeah. So, but I was not confident that they would be able to get it done, and they got it done. And they only got one more to go here, so pretty interesting. I was alive, but I was 6 years old when the Bulls won 72 games, and don't really remember much from that. So to see a team this dominant, I get to say now that I've seen the team in baseball win the most games in history. I've seen a team go 18-1 and twice. And I've seen in football, and I've also now seen possibly 73 wins in basketball.
That's a great way of putting it. It is. It's really just something to see. They've just been amazing all year. Steph Curry alone had 37 the other night. He is actually the player who scored the most points against the Spurs all year, which the Spurs would have to be their biggest competition as far as the playoffs, you would think. And yeah, he did it twice, scored 37 on them, and the most they had given up all year to anybody. And so it's just, and that's their next closest competition. It just doesn't seem like it's very fair, which I kind of just kind of brings me to what I think, like, is it all but over? Like, do we just give it to the Warriors?
Well, I was also, that was another really big concern to me too, was they looked pretty, pretty tired when they got that win over, who did they play? When they played was it the Jazz? I can't even remember who they played Saturday night. But Memphis, yes, the Grizzlies. Yeah, they just barely got that game. And I was watching that game, and they looked very tired. I really didn't think that they were going to win the Spurs the way they looked in that game. But whole new day, whole new game, and it all starts over. And I have to give it to them at this point. The only thing I think that will prevent them is if they do get tired, and I'm not sure that they will. I think maybe they're just a little bored. They got up for the Spurs, and they played the Spurs really well. They beat them in San Antonio. Hadn't been done in 48 tries in the regular season. Hadn't been done since 1997 for the Warriors. 33 straight games that they've lost there. And, yeah, they broke a lot of streaks in that game. So pretty remarkable what they were able to do and what they've been doing all season.
Yeah, I just really hope that they're not tired. I'm kind of think it would just be kind of a real downer if there was some sort of shocking second round exit. But I think that they should at least cruise the Western Conference Finals.
There's no way they lose in the first or second round.
Yeah, but side note, Steph Curry needs 8 more threes to get to 400. Do you think he can pull it off in one game?
I think he hits nine. I think he hits nine wins tonight. Nine. At
okay.
Home,
well,
they're going to be feeling it. He said he's going to gun for it if it's in distance. It's in distance. And I sure do think that he's going to try for it.
I think it's definitely in play. He's done it 15 times this season, which is not only insane,
wow.
Just because it's 15 times, but it's insane because nobody else has done it 15 times in their career. That's more than anybody has done in their career. He's done it this season. So what's one more? What's eight more threes to the best shooter in the world?
Yeah, I mean, probably not much, and I kind of want to see what the comparison is with the rest of the league combined hitting eight or more threes in a game. Can't be much
oh, yeah,
more
just,
than that, I want
to say. I'd like to see the numbers on teams hitting eight or more threes in a game. I mean, he's got to
be
getting close to those numbers.
I don't know. Teams take a lot of threes nowadays.
Yeah.
But, yeah, pretty much they got a lot going on for them this year. A lot of records being broken, a lot of records being snapped that they've snapped. So, yeah, I definitely think that. And I also think they were able to beat the Spurs at their healthiest. I know they didn't have Boris Diaw, who actually is a huge role when they play the Warriors. So I think that's a big loss. They didn't play with Duncan, but I really don't see Duncan playing very many minutes if they do play the Warriors. So I don't think that's really too much of a loss. I think he only plays about 8 to 10 minutes if they play the Warriors in the playoffs. I think he's a bad matchup at this point in his career against a team like the Warriors, especially when they go with Draymond at the 5. So don't think that was a big loss, but they were able to beat Kawhi and LaMarcus and Parker and Manu. And all the other guys. So I think, they got that series 3-1 over the Spurs this year. And who knows what that does to the Spurs. Maybe puts it in their head that they can't beat this team either. And that it's just it's theirs to lose. And they may be right.
Yeah, you just got to wonder if if the Spurs have enough to even hang in a 7-game series, much less win the way the Warriors have looked against them.
I said all year the Warriors would win in 5 or 6. I did not see it going 7. I know a lot of people think that the series would go to 7. I just don't think the Spurs are athletic enough. I think they'd win 1 or 2 games with their ability to pass the ball and play defense. I think there's going to be 1 or 2 games where they hit a lot of shots and the Warriors can't really hit shots, but I think that the Warriors are the better team. They would need a huge, probably 30 to 35 points per game from Kawhi if they were going to beat the Warriors. So,
right. Well,
I don't really see that happening.
He hasn't exactly had his best games this year against the Warriors. Just this last one, 20 points, but only on 7 of 22 shooting. So they seem to kind of contain Kawhi Leonard. And if that's happening, the Spurs, I mean, you've still got options, but it definitely makes things harder.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the Warriors can actually, they can play really good defense and when they want to. So I think that they do give Kawhi some problems to really shoot the ball. I think that the Warriors are just long and can really bug them. They have a lot of guys that they can put defenders on Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Klay Thompson, all really good perimeter defenders. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for any team. So I'm not even sure if we'll see Spurs Warriors. I still have faith in the Thunder.
Yeah.
But they also,
there's always that.
They
I
also
mean, that's, there's, there. Yeah, they are definitely a wild card. But just as dangerous as anybody else.
Yeah.
All right.
We need to close out games a little better. But
yeah. Okay. Well, do you got the records?
I do. took Spurs, or I took Warriors in both those games. You took Spurs at home. So that made us both go 3-2 and 0-1 are upset. So you still hold that 5-game lead over me right now. And we're both 4-6 in our upset picks.
All right. Wow. Seems like it's been kind of like that the last few weeks.
It has.
Kind of, yeah, 3-2 or 2-3, 0-1.
Yep. Yeah, it's maybe we just need to pick the same upset games again. We'll be fine.
Right. Start nailing picks.
That's all it takes.
All right.
That's all it takes.
Well, what do we got next? Baseball or golf?
Well, let's go Masters here.
Okay.
All right. So basically, Jordan Spieth leading 7 straight rounds. We'll just skip to the 4th round here. 7 straight rounds he had won at the Masters. Was in the lead all four days last year. Was in the lead the first 3 days this year. Actually had a 5-shot lead going to the 12th hole. Had birdied 4 holes in a row, 3 or 4 holes in a row on the front 9, and then the 12th got him. It was just hard to watch. I was watching the game, or the game. I was watching the match, and it was just hard to watch. Hit it in the water twice, hit it in the bunker after that, and he hit a 7 on a par 3, and that's what did him in. And we had a new Masters champion. So what did you think about what happened, and did you think that maybe he could have birdied out his holes there and get to a playoff? Because I was kind of feeling it there for a little bit, but for some reason, you can't birdie par threes too well.
Well, I don't know. You can't expect somebody to birdie whatever it was 5 straight holes to to force a playoff. No matter who they are, especially if on Sunday at Augusta. But no, it just happened. He just lost focus. It had to be. I think he even said as much. It just, for whatever reason, on 12, he's. I don't want to go over. I don't want to go over. So. Like, I'm sure we've all done in golf. I know I do all the time. I don't want to go over. So you either pick the wrong club or you just don't hit the ball quite with the amount of authority that you should. And so your shot is lacking what it needs to be to get where you want it to go. And of course, I think, yeah, that's what happened. He just didn't put everything into that shot, that first shot. And of course it, was short and kicked back into the water. Then his drop shot was just god awful. He dug up almost a foot of ground and yeah, went into the water again. After that, yeah, you're trying to save yourself, but yeah, it just didn't get any better. Went into the sand, quadruple bogey. Just completely fell out of the lead, went to 3 strokes back. The worst part about it is he had to put the jacket on Danny Willett at the end. But, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
Like, that 12 holes eaten up a lot of golfers in history. Greg Norman had one of his famous meltdowns at Augusta and had a bad 12th hole. Like, it happens to the best of them. He's definitely going to be back. The way he dominated last year and dominated the first 3 rounds this year, it's not like this is a fluke. He's this good. He had a bad hole and it ended up costing him.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it there. I think just that one bad hole and he, it was just because him and his caddy talked about it for a long time before he actually teed off on that hole. And I can't remember, but I think his caddy said something about he didn't want to use that club because he'd hit it too far. And Jordan said, well, I don't want to use this one because I don't know if I'll get it up. And he said, oh, you'll get it up. Then it didn't happen. And Spieth just kind of looked at his caddy. I don't know. It was it's kind of interesting to see because, I mean, he talked to his caddy a lot. I think he talks to his caddy more than I've seen of anyone in a long time. So, yeah.
No, I mean, I could totally see him kind of leaning on that, you know, just like, are you sure, you know, this is what I should do? And it's just looking for that reassurance from somebody trust. Like, yeah, I'm sure that's all, you know, he's trying to get, or the caddy's trying to give him. It's like, nah, you'll be all right. Just hit it. And for whatever reason, yeah, he just wasn't properly focused on that shot. And it all went downhill from there.
Yeah, it was, it was something, but I think that, he really likes playing at that course, and I think he's going to be in contention for many years to come at the Masters. So I definitely think he'll end up getting his second one at one point. I mean, his first three Masters, he's now finished second, first, and second. Not too bad.
No, not at all. But no, yeah, and that's the thing is he'll win more majors than just the Masters. He's got a very bright future.
Yeah, most definitely. He's already the favorite to win the U.S. Open, so just that.
Yeah, no, as he rightfully should be. But another crazy thing about the actual winner actually was the last person to officially enter the tournament because he didn't expect to be able to play, but his wife actually gave birth earlier than expected, so he went ahead and played. So good for him, you know,
yeah.
Timing and all that.
Yeah, I know we've been just talking about Spieth here, but yeah, hats off to him. So he definitely earned it, and he took it whenever Spieth gave him the opportunity there. There were actually a couple guys that could have stayed in contention, but Dustin Johnson kind of imploded. Not really a surprise. He's tended to do that at majors. He took it, and Danny Willett is the Masters champion of 2016.
He was able to birdie after Spieth's disastrous 12th hole and then just kind of hold at 500, but he's not just this guy that came out of nowhere. I think he was ranked before the tournament 12th in the world, 12th or 11th. I can't remember exactly, but you know, it's not like any nobody. He's a really good golfer. He definitely deserved it.
Yeah, most definitely. Good for him. Good for him. And it's always exciting to watch majors in golf. And I definitely think that there's a lot of young guys that are going to bring golf back in it with the absence of Tiger. So,
who? What?
Yeah,
exactly. I thought he was just a myth.
He is. He is actually. Never saw him growing up.
Right. All right. Let's talk some baseball. Some baseball stories, if you will.
All right. Kicking it off.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Trevor Story, shortstop for the Rockies, 7 home runs in 6 games, which is, of course, the record. It had only been 6 in 6 games previously by Larry Walker, Mike Schmidt, and Willie Mays. And those are all really good guys to be in company with. But now he's in his own company, so that's just a whole other story. I'll stop now.
No, I liked it. There's not enough puns you can use here.
Right, no, but he's been awesome. He was named MLB Player of the Week. He had 7 home runs, obviously, 12 RBIs, 30 total bases, and a 1.111 slugging percentage. He has 2 other hits, and they're both singles. So he's just dominating.
Yeah. Don't give him an easy pitch to hit, because he's gonna take it out. That's been apparent, and I definitely think he's gonna cool down at some point. I mean, he could end the season right now with 13 home runs, 10 home runs. I mean, he could not hit one the rest of the year. But what he's been doing right now is a really good story. Oh, it's just
nah.
Hard not to say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs to change his last name, though.
All right. But, no, I mean, I don't know, just some things that, yeah, that I'd think about as far as, yeah, he's got to cool off or something's got to give, I guess, is both of his series that were played were in Arizona and Colorado. Elevation's pretty high, both of those places, obviously. And he's going to be playing his home games in Colorado, so that's, you know, should help, I guess, to some extent. So, but, you know, you can never know how much that actually plays into, you know, every single hit or whatever. But he has also struck out 8 times and only walked once. So you might see pitchers try and get him to go for that swing and miss more often. So, yeah, no, I don't know. We'll have to check it out. He does. He's kind of surprising. He's not a very big guy either. He's only 6'1". But it is fun to see people hit home runs.
Yeah, it has. It's been really cool to keep a track of this early part in the season. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get number 8 in the 7th game. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, definitely. He's okay. Yeah, no, I was going to – I almost said story again, but no, we're done with that.
There's also something else that's been going on baseball. We have one undefeated team left. That's the Baltimore Orioles, a team that I thought would be pretty good this year still. They have really good bats, but didn't think their pitching would be up to par, but they haven't really needed it because they're just out slugging everyone here in the early part of the season. They're the lone undefeated team remaining in baseball, and they look like they are ready to get back in the playoffs after missing last year. So we'll have to see, only 6 games in, but they look like they're going to be right there competing all year in the AL East. So It's been pretty good, and not sure by next week if they'll still be undefeated. But, yeah, I definitely think they'll be right there all year. So,
no, yeah, there's a lot of stacked divisions, it seems, in baseball right now. AL East, NL Central, stuff. Yeah, the Orioles are definitely – they got back, and he hit a 3-run home run off Craig – the day in the 9th inning, or yeah, obviously, score tied 6-6, and another thing, the Orioles have actually been missing Adam Jones for the last few days, so once he gets back in that lineup, they're going to be back at full strength, and definitely going to be interesting what's going to happen there with the Yankees and the Blue Jays and, of course, the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy that they've been able to do this not completely at full strength. I think Adam Jones is possibly their best player behind Manny Machado. So, definitely not going to hurt when he comes back here. So, Orioles are going to be a very tough team for anyone to face, and that'll make Jason LaCanfora very happy.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
yeah, Royals.
All right, well, let's talk about a team that isn't playing so good, the Minnesota Twins. I mean, I don't think they're playing that bad. They didn't play the Royals that bad. The Royals just kind of roiled them a couple times. This is actually 0-7 is actually the worst start since the 1904 Washington Senators went 0-13. They, of course, because they lost today, a few other teams had gone 0-6, but 0-7, what's up with the Twins? Thought they were supposed to be even more improved.
Yeah, I don't think they've necessarily been that bad, but they've just been on the wrong side of the end. I don't think that their bullpen is that great. I thought that they were going to be improved off of last year, bringing in a couple other young guys, Sano getting more playing time, Buxton staying up. Not really sold on if Buxton can hit, but that's still to be determined. And they also signed that Japanese player who actually homered off of the Royals the other night. I can't think of his name right now, but
I'm pretty sure it's Korean.
Korean, sorry.
Yeah. I'm not – Park is his last name.
Park? Yeah, that's
yes.
It. So,
yes.
Yeah. But, so I definitely think that they're going to be fine. I think that they're going to kind of ride the ship a little bit and kind of catch up. But I definitely think – and an AL that is going to be very close all year. I think that the wild card, you're not going to be able to have too many losing streaks like this at any point in the season to really stay in contention. So we'll have to see. But I think they'll be fine eventually.
Yeah, no.
Right
now they're just – what I'm seeing is they're just not hitting with runners in scoring position and they're striking out a lot. And go back to the bullpen not being very good. I loved that report about scouts saying watching the Twins is just like watching the Royals, except their bullpen's not as good and striking out all the time. But all right, anyway, I guess that's all the baseball I got. What about you?
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. Still early, so we have a lot left here.
It's going to be a fun season. I know I'm excited. Well, baseball, it's a long run, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, most definitely. We'll have to see here in a couple weeks because I know next week we're going to have a special hot take show. We're going to do a mock draft and we're going to alternate picks in next week's episode. So that's going to be pretty exciting. We're going to do the first half of the first round next week and the second half of the first round the week after. So pretty excited about it. Gonna have to really do some homework on it though here.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm way behind where I want to be as far as draft prospects, but I've got podcasts ready to go and of course draft break to watch whatever tape I can, so I'll be ready. But let's go ahead and I guess make these picks. So we can finish this up. So I guess we got Spurs and Thunder playing in their last games each. So who do you got?
In that game, it's going to be close. San Antonio playing at home after the streak ended. I am going to roll with the Thunder here, though. A lot of puns tonight. Didn't mean to add that pun either, but we're gonna go with the Thunder here. And the only reason why I'm not sure the Spurs are gonna play everyone for very long, and I also think that the Thunder really want a statement win headed into the playoffs. And there wouldn't be much of a better statement win than beating San Antonio in San Antonio. It would also give the Spurs just something else to think about in a potential second round matchup.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Thunder are going to win. I also feel like the Spurs just probably aren't just too concerned anymore with anything at this point. They might end up resting people, or if the score gets out of hand early, and just being picked off of it. So, the Thunder need every bit of momentum that they can get.
Yeah, most definitely. Should be a good game either way, though. I think it's going to be close, so let's see. That's tomorrow night.
All right. Do the Warriors get the record against the Grizzlies?
Yes, they do. They made it this far. Don't think they're going to let the Grizzlies come in and beat them in Golden State. And I think that the biggest I don't think it's going to be close. And I think that the biggest thing we'll be watching by the third quarter is if Steph gets more than 8 threes.
Yeah, I feel you there. I think that, yeah, that this is what they've been wanting to do all year. This is what they've been working for. They're at home. This is the last step before they can move on to trying to repeat. So they go all out and get number 73.
Yeah, just remarkable. So, should be fun. But actually, something that really confused me when I was looking up these games said Grizzlies-Warriors were on at 9:30 on ESPN, but it also says Jazz and Lakers are on ESPN at 9:30.
No, Lakers-Jazz got moved to ESPN 2.
ESPN 2, okay. I figured that they would have the Lakers playing because it's Kobe's last game.
That was the original plan, but as the Warriors got closer to I actually read an article about it this morning. As the Warriors got closer to the record, ESPN negotiated for rights to the rest of their games. So basically what they did is they just said the Warriors are going to be on ESPN, Lakers Jazz is going to be on ESPN too.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. But I think that the Jazz are going to spoil Kobe's last game in Staples Center. I do think Kobe's going to score about 30 points, have a pretty good game, but still doesn't help his teammates around him. And I think the Jazz secure their playoff spot with the win over the Lakers Wednesday night.
I think Kobe gets the W going out. He's going to score a lot of points, more than you'd expect, hopefully, and yeah, just get a nice send off and ride off into his own little sunset.
Yeah, I really hope he doesn't have a 2-for-18 game. That would be pretty sad.
Yeah. All right. Giants Dodgers, Bumgarner versus Kershaw. Who are you taking there?
I'm going Dodgers. Don't know why. Going Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm also going to go Dodgers. Okay, got an upset?
Yeah, I do. I think that the Braves get their first win over the Marlins on Friday night.
Oh, wow. Well, I've got an upset. The Marlins, also involving the Marlins, are going to win this series against the Mets. They already won one game. They just got to win one more.
Yeah, good start so far. 10-3. Giancarlo hit a bomb.
Good times. All right. You got a hot take?
I do. I think Kershaw homers off of Bumgarner.
Oh. A little payback. That's awesome. I kind of had an explanation to go along with it. We don't really have a whole lot of time. I don't want to say this, but I think Mike Moustakas is going to hit 30 home runs.
All right. So complaining to me about making a pick last year, but you make one that we won't find out either. So,
I mean,